Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And it's a Thursday, so let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline for our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer BetQL's Lucy Birch.
Up to Beantown.
Yes, she is our Boston area correspondent. And Lucy, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. So it's been an eventful week for your New England Patriots. The Vrabel thing has become official, and Drake May got engaged. Any thoughts?
Yes, good afternoon. The two things happened separately, and people are mad about it. So people, or one person in particular, was angry in the media about the fact that Drake May did not fly back from his vacation to go to Vrabel's introductory press conference. Hmm. Now, I don't know if anybody watching that thought that, oh, why isn't Drake May there?
Right.
Maybe, because the only player who was at Jerod Mayo's introductory press conference was Mac Jones. So when this became an issue, I thought, well, it was smart of him then, because look then what happened to Mac Jones. So, you know, it couldn't have been helped, really. And so come to find out, he was on vacation, I don't know where, far on a beach somewhere, and he was, at the time of the press conference, planning to propose to his longtime girlfriend the next day. And so how could he fly back for the press conference, and it would ruin all of those plans that were previously made prior. I mean, these plans were probably made way before Vrabel was hired or Mayo was fired. So how would he know that? But seeing this now, I thought, well, if he had flown back, it would be very impressive. And if he proposed at the press conference,
oh, wow.
I think it would say a lot about where his mind is with the team and how dedicated he is to the team. So maybe he's just not as dedicated as previously thought, is what this means.
that perhaps.
It's a way to look at it.
That's one way to frame it. Loose, all's well that ends well here with this Vrabel thing. I mean, they got their guy, so if they kind of made a mockery of the Rooney Rule to get there and had a bizarre press conference where Robert Kraft was talking about the 2023 team like Jerod Mayo had anything to do with coaching that team, I guess they did what they had to do to get what they want.
Yes, so it's been in a lot of things in flux to finally get to the point that they should have been at the point that they should have been in last year.
Yes.
Like, they should not have hired Jerod Mayo, except that Robert Kraft promised him that when he fired Belichick, or when Belichick left, who knows how he envisioned that ending, that Mayo would be the coach. But, I mean, Vrabel would have been the best option, and so now they're righting a wrong, and I think in Kraft's mind, he wants to kind of erase what happened last year and think, okay, everybody forget, don't look at that. We're going to write this now, so everybody forget about that and look over here, because now we have a quarterback. We have a coach who should have been the coach last year. So I think that's true, though. I think they have their guy. I think now they are in a really good spot to, you know, maybe, I don't want to say win the division.
Whoa.
I don't want to go that far.
No, don't.
But I won't, as of now. Who knows? But what if Josh Allen suddenly is really bad? I will say I don't think they're going to finish last in the division next year.
Agreed.
So I think they will improve. And you look at the rest of the division, and I think that's very feasible. So I think they have their guy, and I think that's a big push in the right direction for this team.
We're talking with Lucy Bird, just Inside Access here on The Fan. Lucy, your former quarterback up there, Tom Brady, seems to be having a lot of influence in Las Vegas. Antonio Pierce out. A lot of rumor that Ben Johnson, who was everybody's hot offensive coordinator candidate, that he may end up in Vegas.
Yes. So I think this makes a lot of sense because they are interested in Ben Johnson, but also reportedly he is very interested in going to a team with a young quarterback, and the Raiders also very interested in drafting Shedeur Sanders, who is a young quarterback, and they have the 6th pick in the draft. So I think that's feasible. I think Ben Johnson would be the right guy there. I think we can rule out Bill Belichick after a lot of reporting and photos that have been posted of Belichick. And I'm just saying that because I thought that Bill Belichick would return. No one was reporting that, really. But I, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm eliminating him now. So Ben Johnson's the guy, I guess, instead of Bill Belichick. There's some scuttlebutt that Brady talked to him about it. But I think Ben Johnson will ultimately be the guy there.
Lucy, if the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox had to play a neutral site best of 7 series right now,
you know her answer,
as presently constituted, who would win and in how many games?
Ooh, okay. I will say, for the sake of the fact that I would, wherever it is, I think we should all watch all of the games together.
Yes.
And travel to wherever the game is.
Yes.
I will say Red Sox in 7, just so we can go to as many games as possible.
Good call.
And then the Red Sox win in, you know, 7 and extra innings.
So you just want as much camaraderie as possible.
And as much baseball.
Of course. Right, and as much down to the wire, you know, these are two equally good teams. And all is equal. So I think 7 games in extra innings for the 7th game, Red Sox win.
Would you like Tony Taters, Anthony Santander on your Red Sox?
Yeah, of course.
You would take him?
I will take anybody as long as Tristan Casas does not get traded.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think they'd play him at first. I mean, you could play him a little bit at first, but I don't think they'd want him to play a ton of first.
Right. I don't want Casas in any packages. And I don't want him in any trade scenarios. So I'm holding my breath for that. But yes, sure, absolutely.
Tristan Casas is the deal breaker on almost anything for you, Lucy.
Oh, definitely. And it was his birthday yesterday, so you know he's a year older now. You're wiser.
What is so he, I like 25 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So he would be great. He's 10 years younger than I am, so that's perfect.
Yes.
He brings a great vibe. I don't want him to leave at all.
Well, the interesting thing about first base is, especially at a place like Fenway, it's such tight confines.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting, you know, first base dugout anywhere around there, he's within earshot of you, Liz.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, I was there last season, and we made eye contact, and I waved, and he's like a head nod at me. I know that very well.
Would you bring a sign? Are you above? Yeah. Are you above bringing a sign to a ball game?
I have brought one sign to a game at Fenway on Connecticut Day, and this was I was in college, and yeah. I don't remember the process of getting it in. I think it was just fine to bring it in. I don't remember what the sign was or anything, but it was on Connecticut Day, and I don't remember. But now I don't like stuff like that. I never liked things like Cirque du Soleil. They come into the audience like you're part of the thing. I don't like that. I don't like when mascots come over to me. I don't like that. There's something about it. Maybe it's the like. I don't know. I don't like that. So no, I would not bring a sign.
I don't travel much anymore. I used to travel a lot. I don't leave my couch.
He doesn't like getting on planes,
and I don't really like people.
I respect that.
So I don't know this, but like, do they even offer Manhattan clam chowder up there? Really, at all? And who would pick Manhattan clam chowder over New England? That, to me, I've never even seen an argument. Like, no one could ever articulate to me any reason why you wouldn't want your clam chowder New England style.
If you like tomato base over cream.
But that's not for clam chowder. Then use that for some other shellfish or something else. Yeah. But the clams go in the creamy base.
Yes, or a Rhode Island clam chowder, which is the clear... One, it is a clear broth.
Oh, you said clear. Okay.
Yes, I'd be down with that. I would be down with that more than Manhattan.
Oh, definitely. So I remember learning the different chowders, and I thought, why? Why wouldn't you do the New England clam chowder all the time? I don't know why there have to be so many different ones, because that's the best one. So, that's the one I go with all the time.
Chowder.
Yes, exactly.
Did you ever have a New England accent ever in your life?
No, I never did. My brother did, though, because my dad I was born and raised in Rhode Island, and my brother didn't say his R's for the first few years of his life.
Interesting.
But you don't say your R's with that accent, but you add them to other things. So, like, I have, instead of saying I have an idea, it's I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did that in Family Guy.
That's a tough listen. Yeah.
That was the accent my brother had when he was young, because my dad has it.
Quahog. Gotcha. Quahog is the Family Guy. Yes.
My dad does say parking the way you say it in Boston. So we used to try to have him say, we said, say car, say parking. We'd have him say it without the accent.
Park the car.
Bizarre. Exactly. That's how my dad does it.
Before we let you go, it's divisional weekend in the playoffs. What are you looking at?
Yes. So I want to take the Lions, and I do have the Lions to win. However, I am taking Commanders +9.5 because this spread is so big. And as Jared Goff did say, Jaden Daniels does not look like a rookie. The Commanders are 11-6-1 against the spread this season, and they have only lost one game by 10 or more points this season, and that was against the Buccaneers in Jaden Daniels' debut. So I am taking the Commanders +9.5, and I am taking the Chiefs to cover as well. They are 6-0 when Clay Martin refs a game of theirs, and he is reffing this game. They find ways to win. I'm taking the Chiefs to cover as well.
Let the people know where they can find you, Lucy.
You can find me on the BetQL network or on Twitter at Lucille Burge, and on Instagram also at Lucille Burge.
And at the neutral site Orioles Red Sox series that I am efforting. I'm efforting that.
I'm there all the time, day and night.
All right. Lucy, you're the best. Thanks as always for your time.
You guys are the best. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Twib Notes. And we remember a legend in the game of baseball and elsewhere, quite frankly, pop culture. Bob Uecker next here on the
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his major league debut. Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
The great Bob Uecker, his role in the Major League movies as the announcer of the then Cleveland Indians, was iconic. He's been the voice of the Brewer, had been the voice of the Brewer since 1971, had a six-year playing career. Recently, in 2003, he was the Ford C. Frick Award winner, so he went to the Hall of Fame. And he's a five-time Wisconsin Sports Catcher of the Year. We bring all this up as he passed away at the age of 90 today. And I think most people probably don't even realize he played, but he's so iconic as a broadcaster for people our age, Jason. Mr. Belvedere, movies, beer commercials, appearances on the late night television. Just Bob Uecker was everywhere.
Yeah, I think he was, to me, kind of like the old-time ambassador for baseball in a way that Artie Donovan was for football.
Yeah.
Now, Artie Donovan had a more distinguished playing career than Bob Uecker, and Artie Donovan, while he would chime in on things, wasn't a full-time play-by-play guy or analyst, let alone doing both at the same time, like Bob Uecker has on Brewers broadcast forever, and then also, you know, he was a part of ABC's Monday Night Baseball for a while, and various national broadcasts. So they're not. It's not a like total like for like, but I just thought someone who embodied the spirit of the sport, someone who was a 24/7, 365 ambassador for the sport, someone who crossed over into TV, someone who crossed over into branding before we knew what branding was, someone who crossed over obviously into marketing and advertising, and someone who was the perfect late night foil. He was to Johnny Carson what Artie Donovan was to David Letterman.
Yes. It's incredible. You're right. Other than the playing part, because Art Donovan's a Hall of Famer. But like they're both known for the beer commercials. Like Artie Donovan was in
And for being irreverent, what they think.
Yes.
Like kind of Charles Barkley to me is almost somewhat of an extension of them from that same sort of vein. And he was someone who you gravitated to. I mean, I can remember as a kid sneaking up to the press box for an Orioles Brewers game and getting Bob Uecker to autograph a ball for me.
Cool.
Like, he just seemed like the coolest guy in the world to hang around with and knew everybody and had a million stories, and he liked everybody and everybody liked him. And he was a living embodiment of what MLB would want you to cherish about their sport.
If you're of a certain age and I said, I must be in the front row,
right,
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's Uecker in that beer
sitting
commercial.
In the last row in the Miller Lite commercial.
Yes. Yeah. So like he's in some box seats. They're moving him, and he goes, oh, I must be.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's at the top of the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, there was some Rodney Dangerfield in his game.
Yes.
There was some Artie Donovan in his game. But he was also an incredible broadcaster.
Yes.
And had a natural ease about him in storytelling and in educating you about the game. There's not that many of these guys left, you know, who bridged that era from black and white to color, who were, again, sort of a part of this movement towards branding before we had that term to coin it. I mean, look, if this was a different day and the Ravens weren't in the playoffs, I think we'd get our buddy Jim Palmer on, because that's another guy who sort of crossed over in these.
And remember,
some
the
of
Brewers used to be in the American League forever.
I mean, and obviously, you know, Palmer would have stories about him from his playing days, and he'd have stories about him from 82 when Uecker's in the booth calling that four-game series at Memorial Stadium. And then obviously those two worked together at ABC.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine right now what it's like in Milwaukee. It has to be like when Brooks Robinson passed here, even though Uecker wasn't that same kind of player, it's got to be that same kind of feeling.
He was the fabric of Brewers baseball.
Like you walk in somebody's basement in Milwaukee, and there's probably a Miller Lite Euchre ad, right, framed in their basement like, thanks, Brooks, the Norman Rockwell is in every basement here.
The other thing that's incredible about Euchre, obviously the character in Major League was a caricature of himself.
Yes.
But then he was a star of a sitcom, like Mr. Belvedere.
I liked it. It was a good sitcom. Like, yeah. I mean, it was more geared towards kids.
Yes, but,
like,
I watched it.
I watched it. Yeah. I mean, there's been far worse dreck than that, for sure. No, like, he was a legitimate actor. Like, man, good on him. And Johnny Carson loved him. Yes. I mean, I bet you, I don't know, it might be out there. Maybe before Johnny Carson passed, someone did ask him, like, your 10 favorite guests. I guarantee you, Euchre was on it.
Rest in peace, Bob Euchre, gone at the age of 90. Coming up next, we switch gears to Maryland basketball. Can they win on the road? Well, they play Northwestern tonight at 9. Pregame coverage starts on the Fan here at 8. Part of the broadcast, well, obviously Johnny Holland and Chris Nockey win the call. Chris joins us next here on the Fan. Maryland defeated Minnesota 77-71 on Monday. They've won two in a row. Can they make it three in a row? More importantly, win a game on the road. They take on Northwestern tonight at 9. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. Let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Chris Nockey will be on the call with Johnny Holiday right here on 105.7 The Fan. He joins us now. And Chris, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it. Before we get to tonight, let's look back to Monday. They're not going to hang that one in the Louvre, but they did get the win. I guess, you know, coming off of Friday night, we should have assumed a bit of a letdown. Empty barn compared to the packed house on Friday. Just your thoughts.
I think all of that's correct. You know, it felt like a UCLA hangover to a degree. But you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, you do get the win. And, you know, in the second half, you scored 45 points it was not a great affair for sure, but you know, I think it sort of underscored the capabilities of the team. You took a pretty good shot from a Minnesota team that obviously came in hungry, 0-5 in the league coming into that game, and they played their tails off. Minnesota did in the first half.
Yeah.
So you know, at the end of the day, you take the win, you move on, you prepare to play for Northwestern, which is what's on the table tonight.
One more thing on the UCLA game, and because you obviously coached at this level for a long time and understand it. And I know that, you know, Cronin obviously is accomplished and has done a lot of things in his career.
He told us.
But I mean, to walk the verbal walk that he walked and then get himself chucked and then after the game say, yeah, I basically quit back on them. Like, I'd seen enough. We had no chance to win. So I wanted to get thrown out of it. Like, is he walking a super fine line? Like, does any of this as a former coach kind of blow your mind?
You know what, I tell you, there's so much about it that's sort of unconscionable to me. And I don't know where to start. First of all, the calling out of his players publicly.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say that in the locker room, and I think we've all had those moments out of frustration where you upend the buffet table in the locker room, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where you're, you know, and we're all sort of prone to that, particularly in the first 5 minutes after the heat of the moment. So you vent, you say what's on your mind, which you may very well have said, but you don't take that into a room full of media. At least I mean. I don't know Mick, and he's been to Final Fours.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, he's an accomplished guy, but to me, there's something that's really off about that. But then here's the other thing, and to me, this is the kicker. You got what you wanted in that effort by UCLA against Maryland. They played their tails off. They fought and scratched on a road game. They gave it their best shot, and they're within six with six to play. And you ultimately decide that game.
Yes,
because you get
points.
The double technicals. Yeah, it's now it goes from 6-12 or 6-13, whatever it did, and it's game over. And like all I could think about, and I said as much when it happened. I said, if I'm a player wearing blue, I'm furious.
Yeah,
I'm furious because we responded to what he said. We responded. We gave it our best effort. They weren't good enough. And Maryland played, you know, 30, 35 minutes of really good basketball that night. And so I don't know. It just, even afterwards, I was just sort of dumbfounded by what I had seen. And, of course, it happened, him getting kicked out was right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. There's not a coach in America that wouldn't have gotten booted for what he said. there's sometimes you think, yeah, it's kind of iffy.
Right.
No. He dropped the big one multiple times, and it was, it was pretty egregious.
Yeesh. We're talking to Chris Noggie. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Okay, well, let's look to tonight. And, of course, the bugaboo for this team, not just this year, but of late, winning on the road, especially in conference. So what challenge does Northwestern bring tonight?
Chris Collins does a really nice job every year. They're really fundamental. They're solid. They play really good basketball. He's got two guys who are averaging right about 19 a game, and it's they're really sort of solid bookend players. One's a they're both kind of wing players, Martinelli and Barnheiser. These two guys have been around. They know how to play. They're veterans. Either one of them is capable of getting 25 or 26 in a game. In fact, Martinelli just scored 27 against Michigan State the other night here. So that's the biggest challenge, containing those two guys. There's a big guy inside, Nicholson, you got to keep off the glass. I think we've got all the things we need to do to combat all that. But you said it, Ken, right out of the gate here. It's just rhetoric until you do it, and you got to start winning on the road. Those are, these things are differentiating wins. And ultimately, if you really want to ascend up the standings, this is where you have to do it.
Well, this is a Northwestern team that has a big win over Illinois, but also is allowing seemingly everybody else they play in conference to score 80 on them. And obviously, the Terps are built with two bigs in a way that not a lot of teams are. I mean, does that seem like for a Maryland team that seemingly scores 77 when it can take a half off, is this one where they might just be able to score too much for Northwestern to keep pace?
Well, I thought that when Terps were getting ready to play Washington,
yeah,
right.
I just thought you get to a certain number.
They can't get there. Yeah,
they're not going to get there. But it didn't quite happen like that. So, they play 40 minutes for a reason. There's always a stretch where we're sort of playing not down to the level of competition, but we're playing their pace. We're playing the style they want to play, and I think Kevin Willard and his staff have done a really good job forcing tempo this year. They're playing fast, like a lot of teams in the NCAA now are playing fast and scoring 80-plus points. It's a great thing to watch, but you can't allow yourself to get bogged down. And it's a lot easier to slow a game down than it is to speed it up. You just got to figure out ways to speed it up. And by the way, we foul too much.
Yeah.
One of the ways you slow down the pace of the game is by putting the other guys on the foul line. And I think that's one of the things that we've been doing too much of as well. So I think this team is still a work in progress, and I think the promise is phenomenal. But it's January 16th, so we got to take those last couple strides.
Chris, with that in mind, I'm curious. Obviously, they haven't played everybody yet, but this is the seventh conference game, and we watch on TV. You could see almost everybody. What do you think of this conference so far?
I think it's really good, and I'm impressed by the infusion of the transfers that we've seen across the board. I love the way Illinois, and you mentioned Illinois, they had lost in here to Northwestern in a almost inconceivable fashion, a game that they had in control with 4 minutes to play and lost in overtime. But Illinois, Michigan are very, very good teams. We've seen Purdue; they'll never beat themselves. I think top to bottom, it's great. And I think that, it might not be – the SEC's just got a lot going on right now. It's a great conference. But, I mean, like you compare it to what remains of the ACC and the back half, the back 10 or 12 teams in the ACC would be in last place in this league. I really believe that. So, I think that it's a good year for the league for sure. And it's gonna lead to a lot of bids come tournament time.
Maryland and Northwestern tonight at 9. You can hear it right here on 105.7 The Fan, beginning with pregame coverage at 8:00. Chris Noggie, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you, sir.
Maryland and Northwestern. Chris will be on the call with Johnny Holiday. Coming up next, though.
My kid played for Cronin. We'd have had a hell of a Zoom. I can tell you that after that Maryland game.
Those
we would have had a hell of a... Taking a victory lap about getting myself chucked from the game Not even saying, oh, yeah, and it cost us 7 points, which actually turned the game. The game was not over when he got himself chucked. That would grind my gears after calling those kids out.
Hey, the back-to-back post games were like from an alternate dimension. Like killing them publicly after the last game and then doing that after the next game was absolutely insane to me. Coming up next, we'll see if Bone gets here. But if not, the Ravens take on the Bills. And what about that Bills pass rush? Could they cause problems for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Yeah, you just said it, man. You know, playing better run defense, getting healthier on defense, it just feeds into the confidence that you have. When you have success on the field, it feeds into the overall, you know, confidence of the team. Offense is doing their thing, special team is doing their thing, and we're starting to strike hot lately. So, it, like I said, it's the battle of two heavyweights, and this is what you want. This is why the NFL is the greatest league in the world, because you get matchups like this, and you get quarterbacks like this going against each other.
Von Miller, Bill's pass rusher, he was once one of the dominant pass rushers in all of football, helped, you could say, almost single-handedly helped them win a Super Bowl in Denver. Before we get to the conversation...
That game against New England in Denver... That we did the NFL today from there, and we watched that whole game from the sidelines.
Yeah.
And watching him just eat up any Patriots offensive lineman seemingly he wanted, and eat up Gronk and whichever tackle, left or right, he wanted.
And then he killed in the
Super
Bowl.
And then he dominated the Super Bowl. I do take exception to one thing he said.
What's that?
Best sports league in the world is Baltimore, Volo, hand in cup.
YOLO.
Hand in cup.
I call it YOLO.
Unisex.
Yes.
Softball.
Bone.
Or is that kickball? That's kickball. Unisex cup and hand kickball.
Cup and hand kickball. Yeah.
That's the best sports league in the world.
Yeah. Cup and hand.
Hey, volleyball starts 6 days. 6 days.
Just let me know when the playoffs are,
We'll be at Two Burns.
Hey, by the way,
Burge at Fenway Park, she's got to have her sign for Tristan Cassius. Yeah. I'm going to show up to your playoff game with a sign.
He never told us the playoff game for softball.
I know.
Yeah.
Subterfuge.
Before we get to the conversation, by the way, Bone will tell us all about his time at the Castle coming up at 5:15. But the injury report's out, and it's the same as yesterday. Zay Flowers did not practice, and Dante Hardy is listed as full because he's not off IR yet.
Yeah. So...
Same as it was.
One of them's going to be returning punts, and the other one's not going to be playing.
I did not see Zay Flowers in the locker room during open locker room.
Thank you for that, Bone.
I'm just giving a tidbit there. Just throwing it out.
Thanks,
Bone. That was
a 105.7 news update. Those sounders we used to play.
So you mentioned how much Von Miller dominated back in the day when the Broncos eventually won the Super Bowl. He ain't that guy anymore.
But, I mean, can he provide two or three moments in this football game?
That's what I was going to get.
That shift momentum.
Yes.
It's certainly a unique resume. There's not a lot of guys left in this postseason. As pass rushers who have the resume and profile that Von Miller does. And in part because he missed time this year for a suspension and being banged up and them being able to be so far up on teams that they could keep him off his feet, he should be fresh for the playoffs. But this is not a dominant pass rush team. I don't look at the Buffalo Bills now 18 games into this and say, that's an elite pass rush team. I mean, they're 22nd in pressure rate. They're like 21st in sack rate. Russo's a nice player. He got 8 sacks. It's a lot of try hard. It's a lot of second effort. It's not a whole lot beat you with a great move, you know, right off the snap. Epineza's got a unique body type. He's an interesting edge defender. He's not a natural-born pass rusher. They've drafted some guys they thought would pan out more than they have. Doesn't mean that a Ravens offensive line that's very young and in their first road playoff game might not struggle with the whole environment, and that could certainly help the Bills. But I think the Bills are going to have to activate some of those speedy 220-pound twitchy linebackers to get pressure. I'm not talking about full-out blitzes. I don't think this coach wants to do that. But maybe bringing five a little bit more than he normally does and getting some of those linebackers involved in the blitz.
The biggest thing about this Bills defense is they don't have a game wrecker in their front seven. They don't have someone that's going to absolutely take over this game. Now, if the Ravens do end up winning this week and they play Kansas City, I'm sure we're going to focus a ton on Chris Jones because he wrecked that season opening game. But for what it's worth, Von Miller, since the Bills' bye week in week 12. He's generated 19 pressures on 79 pass rushes, so it's not like they're overexposing him there. But that's a league-high 24.1% pressure rate over that span.
I mean, look, they signed him a couple years ago. It got hurt. It didn't work out. He restructured to come back. I didn't think he'd be there that long. The fact that he's there that long and still on the roster is because they're hoping there's a few moments where he drinks from the fountain of youth,
yeah,
and he's fresh in a fourth quarter, and he gets the better of a tackle who's on his 65th snap while Von Miller's on his 12th or 8th or
less
whatever.
Less is more. Hey, we saw this year Calais Campbell got the founder, like that guy, and there's a lot of buzz that he's going to retire, but man, oh man, did he play some good football this year.
Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that tank was on empty by probably around week 16, but yeah.
Cam looked
gassed. He played a lot of football.
Yeah.
Cam was gassed.
He was not on a pitch count.
No. So let's, all things being equal, and obviously they're not because they're on the road and the environment is what it is, do you expect the Bills' pass rush to cause some problems?
I think these teams are very similar. The Ravens got home more than the Bills did, for sure. Higher sack number, second higher league, sack yeah. rate. But they have almost identical pressure rate, and I think their guys' builds are somewhat similar. Van Noy, obviously craftier, smarter than a lot of these younger guys, knows where to be, knows how to get a guy to the ground. But like Rousseau and Owe, that's kind of like similar. And I don't think there's a huge advantage one way or the other. And when you look at the caliber quarterback they're playing, again, what I want to see from the Ravens is force Josh Allen to throw the ball into the sidelines. He can't run it on you for extra yards, and he can't turn a broken play into a yak burger if he's throwing it into the stands. And if they can get him to do that 5, 6, 7 times, and when he does break contain, have that mush rush there, right, to muddle him in, to just contain him, cage him in. And when he does break free, if more of those runs are for 7 yards or less than are for 10 yards or more, probably going to have a really good day.
Coming up next, we hope we have at least 2 more of these after today, but that's all. Could be just 3 total as the Ravens, if they go to the Super Bowl, that's 3 games left in the season. Monkey business. We'll hear from Todd Monk and Zach Orr. Hear from the coordinators. They spoke today. That's next here on The Fan.